Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I'm here with Lisa Thomas.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Andrea, for having me.
You're a filmmaker. You've just finished a film, I understand. So tell me a little bit about how you got into film in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in film for longer than I care to admit, but, you know, always kind of working my way up. You know, I didn't start at the top by any means. So I was like everybody's assistant for many, many years. And sort of started in documentary, like my roots are really in sort of like social political work. And that's what kind of brought me to film in the first place, because I originally thought I was going to be a sociologist. And then after studying that in college, I just was like, ooh, ouch, this is going to be a dry subject matter to pursue. So I then went into the media sort of film route, just because I felt like that could affect some real social change. And then one thing led to another. I got into animation for a number of years, and obviously I'm still doing animation. But I'm trying to kind of get back to my roots, my independent roots of doing social political work more.
One of your first films was Freeing Sylvia.
Yeah, Freeing Sylvia Baraldini. Actually, it's so funny that you mentioned that. After it was made 11 years ago with the late director Margot Pelletier. It was our first film together. And it's just now getting a streaming deal in France.
Thirsty comes to mind. That was pretty much a social statement film.
Yeah, it was a little bit more mainstream in that it was like a musical and it was about a Cher impersonator. And I think sometimes it's hard for people to like see how the social commentary when you're dealing with something like a bunch of, you know, mainstream things like Cher songs and stuff come into play. But it really was a film that dealt with gender and being free to kind of explore fluidity of gender. And Thirsty really has a life that just embodies that. And Thirsty is a drag queen out of Provincetown, Massachusetts, who is well known for impersonating Cher. So we did that movie 2013, and it came out a few years later in 2016. And yeah, that's out in the world as well. And so, yeah, I guess you're right. It's a political film as well as being a musical. I sort of fell into the whole animation game, which I did for well over a decade. And that was really, you know, in large part like animation, like television series. I got out of the documentary thing because I focused on that a lot. That's what paid the bills.
What brought you to making this particular film, Ghosts of Love?
Well, Ghosts of Love was just something that came about. I was having conversations with Ryder Cooley, who is the musician whose song is featured in that piece. And I was having these conversations with her, but not just her, with some other people about like, who are all these people that are dying kind of in the, you know, from COVID-19 or in this pandemic? And like, you know, every once in a while you'd see a face of somebody or whatever, but it would be always like somebody real prominent or like, you know, a sports athlete or politician or whatever. And I was just like, I know there's just like everyday teachers and students and, you know, nurses. And I mean, some of those people do get a little bit of press, but not a heck of a whole lot. And so it was just bothering me that everything was like graphs and charts and statistics for the most part. And you were only given like, if a few thousand people died in a day, you might be lucky if you'd see like one photo of one of those people. But everybody else was just like nameless and faceless. So I just wanted to do something to kind of like, I guess, visualize it for myself, like how far reaching this really is, and to have a sense of like who all these different types of people were that were passing and to, you know, commemorate them.
And you decided to work with animation to do the story of the people, a few of the 90,000
in the US. Although I will say in Ghosts of Love, we don't really just focus on people that have passed, you know, here in the United States. But yeah, I went with animation, Andrea, because, you know, I would have maybe done it more documentary style, but I realized that the photos themselves that I was collecting when I was, you know, able to find and track certain people were very going to be very hodgepodge and non-consistent if I tried to put it in sort of a documentary format. So then I just thought one way to keep the look of the piece consistent, if I'm going to make a video of some sort, is if we can have them drawn. And that's what led me to have it be animated.
It's a nice combination of animation and documentary story put together. Yeah. Was it the music that got you interested in how you were going to present it?
It's an interesting question. I came up with the idea maybe only a day before I realized this song was going to be really fitting for it, but it wasn't the song first that that led me down this road. It was really just these conversations, like I mentioned, that I was having about who are all these people? How can we visualize them? Ryder had sent me this song many months before for some other reason, maybe for some other live action short that I was going to shoot that, you know, in the spring that I couldn't pursue, just to consider it. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh my God, I feel like this was written just like right now, right for this very moment. Like the song was just so hauntingly prophetic, even though it was written a while ago, that I was like, I think I have to use this song to set what I'm trying to do too. So I spoke to her about it and she was like, yeah, go ahead, you know, bring new life to it, do it, whatever you wanted.
Was it a big leap to go from producing to directing, or was it a natural move for you?
I honestly think it's a very different muscle. I think directing is for me, it's not like completely second nature. Sort of the way I've been producing for a long time has become a lot more second nature. So the way that people kind of get nervous, like putting together schedules and budgets and dealing with the nuts and bolts of how to bring a production together. For me, the creative end of things is a muscle I don't get to use all the time. So I do get a little panicked when I'm directing. I always feel like, oh my gosh, this is such a different part of the brain to like really work, you know, work out. I enjoy it, but I always really stress over it too. Like I lost all kinds of sleep over, you know, certain parts of the song, like how to depict them or illustrate them in a way. And, you know, I knew that I mostly wanted it to be the faces of these, you know, different people that I was researching and finding. And, but there are other lyrics in the song and things that are like, I wanted to illustrate as well. And, you know, being able to come up with the idea for all those different moments sometimes can be challenging. So I do get a little freaked out, but I think I'm up to the task.
Yeah, I think the animator's wonderful. Who, yes. Is that someone you've worked with before?
Seth, I've known for a couple years. He is local from upstate. He did an internship with me, like at the studio where I used to work a couple years back in Brooklyn. It was really ironic because I ran into him in Catskill maybe a week or two before quarantine. He was like at this bar that's a local bar now, and he was just sitting there drawing, and I'm like, Seth, what are you doing here? I thought you were in the city. I'm back. I'm just kind of like in between things and looking for a job. So it sort of like stuck in my brain, oh my gosh, this very talented guy's around and he's not working. And then when I got this idea, I was like, maybe he'd be into it. So that's how it came about.
So it's quite a local production and all.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple other people down in New York City that lent a couple days, like nights and weekends to it. Keith Stack and Paloma Garcia both knew I was working on this and they wanted to help out. So they lent a few days each. But Seth and I, both being in Catskill, but without any human contact, were like at it day by day. I was the one feeding him I was doing all the research and feeding him the names and the photos of all the people as they would pass and where they died and how old they were and what kind of profession they might have had. And I wanted to try to include a lot more information than I actually was able to get into the piece, but I delved into a lot of the history of different people as I was researching them and deciding who to include and things like that. And one of the things that was important to me was to have people from all different types of walks of life and from all different like countries and backgrounds. And I will say one of the things that became very apparent as I was researching it, you know, you could find people and like every day a couple people are listed, even though thousands of people across the world are dying, but it was so hard to find lives of women listed that are dying, you know. And I know men are dying at a higher rate. I think it's something like 60 something percent to like 40%. But it was almost as if the lives of women who were dying of this were just not being documented. So it was extra hard for me to include the women in the piece because I had to really go in search of them, like in a much bigger way. It took a lot more time finding them and their photos and their backgrounds. And they had to be like these ultra accomplished women to get ever mentioned. So like, I'm not saying that the men that are being reported on aren't also very accomplished, because almost everybody that is being listed, you know, has some credentials to themselves in some way. But, you know, then sometimes it just happens to be like the first person in a place. I'll give you one example. There was a mailman that I knew that some postal workers had died in Italy because of how quickly things caught on in Italy and how many people were dying, like suddenly, you know, in the earlier part of the year. And I had heard that they were like shutting down their postal system or like drastically reducing the hours or something. So I was like, well, man, if some postal workers have died, I want to be able to find you know, someone that I can illustrate in the piece, because it just so happened that Ryder had this lyric in the song that's like, the mailman is dead. And I'm like, the mail peak carriers are dying at high, high risk. But do you think I could find a photo of a mailman that died of this? I mean, I eventually did, but it took me days to get this one photo, and I had to go through Facebook and all this stuff and whatever. I eventually found someone, but it, like, just that example alone.
When does the film release? Because you've only just finished it.
It's my plan to put it out online. But someone reached out to me that's doing a show that's going to be in like window storefronts in a couple towns in upstate New York. This show that they're doing, so it'll be at Prattsville at the Prattsville Art Center. And there's some other town up near Albany area.